The following is a part of the Radio Memphis On Demand service. It originally aired live on Radio Memphis and has been edited for time.
There you have it. That is your Artist of the Month for January 2018 right here on Radio Memphis Around the World, Lee Del Rey Band, okay? Blues Came A-Calling, and that is off his album, Brand New Man, all right? Some fantastic groove, don't you think? And I tell you, one of the things, you know, we're going to learn a little bit about him. Now, what you may not know is that, you know, he was born in South Florida, okay? He was raised in New York City, and his earliest influence, when, you know, to become a musician is when his dad took him to see a Pete Seeger concert on Pier on Staten Island. Now, shortly after that, this is where it becomes very important, especially for those of us that are from Memphis. He saw Elvis Presley for the first time, okay? And that was actually the broadcast of his 69 comeback, and that pretty much is what changed his life forever, as rightfully so. And I'm going to tell you what, man, Memphis in the Mid-South, man, we've got that magic. And of course, you can't even argue the fact that, you know, when you're talking about the king of rock and roll that's going to influence you in that manner, that is fantastic, all right? Very cool stuff. And of course, you know, since then, obviously, you know, he's become, you know, quite the incredible blues artist. You know, he's gone across the globe. He's been written up in magazines like Blues Blast, Big City Blues Magazine, you know, Star Magazine, you know, for new bluesmen. And he's even done something cool, like competed in and won in the Lehigh Valley Blues Network's IBC competition. And he's traveled here to Memphis, and he's competed in the IBCs here as well. And you know what's even more beautiful is that, you know, he's been in our studios before. He's hung out with the guys in Booze and Blues with Rick and Jeff, you know, that happens on Sunday nights and stuff like that. This is going to be one of the first times, because I have him on the phone, and you know, Dee's going to get to know, you know, Lee Del Rey for just a second here and see what he's got going on, and I'm going to share that moment with you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and bring Lee on. How you doing, honey? Hey, Lee.
Hello.
Hey, honey, how are you?
All right, how y'all doing?
I'm good, man. Rocking out to you, brother. Rocking out to you. Thank you so much.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
I haven't heard that one in a long time.
Well, you know, it's funny because it's got a nice little groove to it, man. And it's Saturday. I felt the need, and it was just one of those. And, you know, since you're my artist of the month, you know, for January for the Around the World show, I had to make sure that I put a lighter under everybody. How about that?
All right, cool. I don't know. I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
No, it's kind of the same. You got a little static coming in with you. What would you talk?
Okay, because I can hear you fine, perfect, and you know, everything is good on this end.
All right, yeah, we'll make it work.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, not a problem. All right, good deal. So what you been up to, brother?
You know, we're in the studio working on the third record, and we're gigging around, and we're touring around regionally and a little bit here and there, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, we're playing as much as we can, and we're looking forward to a third release. We're planning a live record also in between.
Perfect. That's absolutely perfect. I was hoping, and I knew that you've been working on some music, you know, because I was catching up on some of your pages, and I knew that you were working on a couple of other things. And it was one of those, you know, because I was talking to Rick, and I was like, man, I wonder if Lee's coming down, you know, from to Memphis to the IBCs, or just coming to hang out. And so we were.
I so wanted to.
Oh, I know you did. So you got to tell me, you think you might make it for the next year's IBCs?
I think I am. Yeah, I'm going to make it down for the next IBCs. I'm hoping to get down for the BMAs.
Perfect. Hell yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. Of course, you know that as soon as you come down here, you have to come here, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm going to try and book some dates down there in Memphis, in Mississippi and stuff like that. So,
well, perfect. Yeah. You know, honey, and for those of you that are tuned in, we're talking to our artist of the month for Radio Memphis Around the World, Lee Del Rey out of Pennsylvania. You were born in Florida, raised in New York City, you know, live in Pennsylvania, and you are all about some blues.
Yeah.
How does that even happen?
Well, I know how it happened that I was born in South Florida.
Okay. Well, I wasn't going to go there, man.
Never mind. I don't want to really go, but...
Love it.
I was born in South Florida, and I was adopted.
Okay.
So my parents brought me to Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I was there till I was about five.
Okay.
And Dad bought a house, and Mom bought a house in Staten Island, and they brought me there.
Nice. Okay.
I always felt oddly out of place.
Imagine that, you know, and that's and that's just so funny because, you know, I've spent the majority of my life in Memphis, but believe it or not, I was born in New York. Okay. And so, and so I get it. You know, my dad's from the Bronx. All right. I get it. You know, and it's kind of one of those things. Exactly. Exactly. Everything sounds like a question, but you're not supposed to answer it.
Yeah.
Right. You know, and so you grow up, you know, pretty much, like I said, in the New England states, you know, and you know, and of course, you know, you mentioned that your dad, you know, took you to a concert, and you mentioned that you saw Elvis on TV in your bios. And, you know, what clicked in your head that this was the music, this was for you? What did you think? What were you doing? What were you feeling?
I think it was 69 Comeback Special. It was the way it was set up, I think, you know, where he was kind of just very, it was very personal. It was just him on this very small stage surrounded by people.
Yep.
And, you know, with a guitar. And it was, you know, I saw the connection that he had with the crowd and just how, you know, how he touched them with music. And, you know, and I had been, you know, a huge fan ever since. And, I mean, he hit me, and that's
beautiful.
It was almost like I was there, I think it was Blue Hawaii came. He was aired shortly after that.
Okay,
because you know the 68 Comeback Special obviously was a rebroadcast because you know I was born in 69, so
right.
It was on live.
That's okay. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And so you saw it.
And I saw the Blue Hawaii concert, I think it was, and he did. I always forget the name of the song when I get on the spot. American Trilogy.
Oh yes. Yes.
And that, I mean, you know, here I am. I'm like, I think at the time, maybe 4 or 5 years old. I think Blue Hawaii was 1972. And I might have seen it in 73 or 74. And he did American Trilogy, and it literally brought me to tears.
Wow. Isn't that crazy how that does that?
Yeah. And I was a little kid, and I didn't know nothing about that.
See, that's what's so beautiful, Lee, about you, and you were so young, and this got you, you know, and that's my thing is like, you know, not to, like I said, and people who are inherently supposed to be in music and inherently supposed to be in some type of creative art, I mean, there's always something that channels them to do so, you know, and obviously this was one of those things, but I guess it's magical to me, being so young, and you're like, oh my God. I gotta do this, you know.
And I just knew there was something to that. Like I just, you know, I wanted to make people feel that way, you know.
Wow.
And I'm still trying, you know. And I went to kindergarten, and my father used to listen to a lot of, you know, we grew up on oldies and CBS FM.
Yeah.
Out of New York and WHN, which was the country channel. So I kind of grew up with outlaw country, doo-wop music, and folk music.
You grew up with all the same stuff that Elvis did, yes.
I thought, really, at my age, I thought that was what was, you know, what everybody listened to.
Well, sure.
So, and I went to kindergarten, and I sat down at the piano. We had a piano there. And I played Scott Joplin's The Entertainer.
Oh, nice.
Recalling it by ear, but I might not have necessarily been in key, and I might necessarily hit all of the right notes, but it was there, and the teacher was just blown away, and she brought my mother into this classroom. She called her into the class, and they were coming after school, and made me sit and do this.
Wow. So there was enough something. There was a natural intent there for you then, too.
Yeah, there was something there. You know, and later on, I found out that my biological father was some musician.
Okay. So you come by it naturally. Yeah, and honestly.
Yeah.
I got you. So.
And then I proceeded to, I used to watch Sean on
Oh my God, I love Sean on Ott. Yes, I remember. Yeah. I'm not telling my age.
Which is really cool because later on in life, I got to play with a sax player from Sean on.
Well, that's cool. Oh my God.
Yeah, and oddly enough, it was the second sax player after Lenny had passed away. This other cat, Jay, took his place, and he also played in the band called The Tokens, which was very big in the 50s.
Yes.
The Lion Sleeps Tonight.
Yes, yes.
And funny enough, The Tokens, my father was best friends with the guitar player from The Tokens.
Oh, wow.
And I later on wound up playing with the sax player who knew my father.
Wow. So this is kind of a surreal, this is a real personal moment. You know, that you're having with all of this music and it's connecting. And you know, Lee, I'm so glad that you're bringing up this part of your world and your history, because you're talking about something you kind of grew up with. You're talking about something that you were influenced by. You're also talking about something that, you know, that you were just kind of, you were put around, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And at the same time, you're also talking about some people, and you're talking about some groups and some individuals and stuff like that that were very key markers and a very key sound of music. And I say that, and yes, you know, we understand the history of it, but what's important is that, you know, they had a certain songwriting style, you know, that impacted pop. They had a certain songwriting style that impacted some people, and so you are in the mix of all of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow!
Yeah, it was pretty wild, you know. And he used to take me to concerts, you know, all the time. Just me and him, you know. We went to see Shannon once. He took me to a couple of different Elvis impersonator shows.
Wow!
And you know, being so little, I didn't know any better. I thought it was Elvis. You know?
Of course, and you were, and it meant something to you, and it was all good, you know. Absolutely,
yeah. I would dress like like somebody from the 50s when I was a kid.
I love it.
Nobody else dressed like that except for me, you know.
And you thought, and it was fine, and it was okay, and because
I thought it was cool, you know. I'm just being me. I see all the other kids; they don't look nothing like that. Meanwhile, I got a pompadour and a leather jacket, and my cuffs rolled up on my jeans.
I love it. That is so fantastic.
You know. So needless to say, I was a bit of an outcast.
Well, you know what though? That's beautiful, because it kind of affects your, you know, your personality and your style and who you are, you know, in terms of music.
Yeah.
And so you grow up. And you're affected by this, and you know that's the epitome of what we do as humans and stuff. I mean, look, we all come from a time, and I hate saying this because it makes me sound like I'm old, but we come from a time when you saw something you wanted to emulate it, you know what I mean, or you wanted to be part of it, and you wanted to be, you know, you wanted to get it on you, and so you figured if you wore the same pants, if you had the same hairdo, or if you brought the same guitar, that you would be able to channel this energy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And what's cool for you though is that in the midst of all of this channeling of energy, you come up with your own sound, you know, and come up with your own style.
It's just, you develop your own kind of thing, and you know, like being from New York, it's kind of a melting pot, you know.
Wow, it is.
And
it is.
I think my friend Papa Chubby put it that way. It's a melting pot of different culture and different music, and you know I was a street musician for a little bit in New York, and I played on the Staten Island Ferry and stuff with a couple of guys.
Wow.
You know, I did the whole street thing, and you know, you from and I used to hang out, you know, on the streets in New York a lot, and you pick up a lot of the culture, you pick up a lot of the different styles. You know, there was a big, really big punk scene when I was growing up.
Yep,
the whole CBGB's thing. I was a little too young. I was a generation too young for it.
Okay.
You know, but I, you know, I used to sneak into the club and what have you, and or stand outside the clubs and, you know, listen to the music. Because I was kind of a loner. I would just, you know, as I got older, I would just kind of take off and jump on the bus and go, you know, cross on the ferry and ride the trains and go out, and, you know, and stuff like that.
Wow.
You know, and in an early age, I was 14 or 13, I got thrown in a group home because I wouldn't go to school after my parents divorced. I was kind of a pissed off young kid. And,
yeah.
You know, I had some troubles and they put me in a group home situation. So okay. I would take off after lights out. We had this fire escape that went down my window and I would climb down the fire escape and just go into Manhattan. Just not to do anything necessarily, but just go into Manhattan and walk around and, you know, check out the scene.
Right, right.
And you pick up a lot, you know, from you know, it's like I said, it's a melting pot of music. So you take all those sounds that you grew up with and you put them together and you know, you come up with, you know, your own type of thing. Yeah.
Wow. So you wind up, you know, it's funny, Lee, because all of these experiences that you just kind of described just now, too, ultimately leads to the ultimate blues writer.
I got a lot of stories.
Yeah. And so, you know, in lieu of all of these influences and, you know, in lieu of all of these inspirations and all of these cultures, you know, that are coming to you and you're being exposed to and stuff, you know, how do you, and of course, you know, your upbringing and you know, you're talking Elvis and you're talking, you know, doo-wop and you're talking folk and you're talking country and stuff. You know, how do you deduce down to the fact that you have, you know, pretty much, you know, claimed the blues, you know, the blues chair. You know, how in your mind did you decide that was the route you were going to take?
Well, I didn't really decide it. I think it just, you know, they say you don't find the blues finds you.
Perfect.
You know, and I was steeped deep in hip hop culture, you know, when I was younger too. And so I've always, you know, between, you know, soul and doo-wop. And, you know, I was a graffiti artist when I was younger, and, you know, I used to hang out with all of these cats in the city and you know, we call bombing trains and stuff and doing pieces, murals on the sides of trains.
Wow.
And that's back when, you know, rapper KRS-One was a graffiti artist.
Wow.
And you know, Fab Five Freddy and all of these cats that later went on to, you know, into the hip-hop business.
I got you.
And you know, so I was kind of there, you know, in that culture, in black culture when hip hop was being born in '82, when, you know, Afrika Bambaataa recorded Planet Rock, you know,
yes,
and stuff like that. And I had met this guy. I was also into reptiles. And this is later on. We're going to jump into like the late '80s.
Okay.
And I had already, you know, had a son, and I kind of gave up music a little bit. And I met this cat named Duke Lee.
Okay.
And he had a sick lizard, so I brought it to the store. Everybody said, bring him to this guy. We hit it off, and he wound up being a musician. And Duke, you know, he's a cool dude. He's a black dude. And he's like, you know, we got to talking about music and this and that. He winds up playing guitar. And, oh, cool. And I come over to the house. And one thing led to another. And I'm playing some Hendrix stuff and some Alvin Lee stuff. And he goes, you want to know where all that shit that you're playing comes from?
There it is.
I was very into Van Halen, too.
Perfect.
And he says, yeah, take this tape and go listen to it. And he gave me a teddy, but Muddy Waters.
Oh, how fun. Nice.
And I was like, I was blown away. I was like, wow.
Kind of like the same moment when you first saw Elvis on the comeback special, kind of like those moments.
Yeah, kind of. You know, and it brought me back to that time I saw Pete, you know, and that's when I was on my father's 7 years old, my father took me to see Pete Seeger on the dock, and I was all nervous, and, you know, here he's standing right there. He's like right on the ground in front of everybody. It wasn't just like a stage or before. And my father took me up to him and introduced me to him. And this is my son, Lee, and we love your music. And he talked to me, and he shook my hand.
Wow.
And we went back the next year, right? I went up to him, and he remembered me.
Oh, my goodness. Isn't that the coolest
feeling? He remembered my name and everything, and he did every single year after that. Always made time to talk to me. But
oh, wow.
Yeah, and he gave me his Muddy Waters tape, and I was like, the pieces kind of came together.
I got you.
Excuse my voice. I'm getting,
that's okay.
Getting sick. But the pieces were slowly being put together, and when I heard Muddy, it kind of put it all together, you know? Like, all right, this is where this stuff came from.
This is where
and
it's
I got to know more about it, you know?
This is where it all started, yeah. And this is what it
so
meant
I
to you.
So I went back, I started listening to Robert Johnson, Sun House, and... which totally blew me away.
Oh my gosh. You were having moment after moment.
Lead Belly and guys like that. And then I got into more of the blues guys, and, you know, eventually found Stevie Ray Vaughan, and, you know, that's a game changer for a lot of people. You know?
Wow. Yes. And so that's
went back and found Albert King and, you know, and all these great blues artists, B.B. King, who I knew of, I just never really listened to at that point, around 90,
mm-hmm.
you know, 89, 90.
Mm-hmm. You never paid attention and never really zoned in on...
What's that?
I said you never paid attention and zoned in on those artists until...
No. I heard about B.B. King, but I never really listened to him, you know?
Right.
And until Duke turned me on to the blues. And it all made sense because I always, you know, I thought, wow, doo-wop is cool, but, you know... Like, it's got to be something a little more harder than that. You
mm-hmm.
know? I mean, where did this come from, you know?
And it's got to go a little deeper. It's
and all that stuff, and you know, and I always wondered, you know,
wow.
where they had to get it from someplace because, you know, white people don't sound, you know, don't sing stuff like this. Normally, you know, listen to, you know, like the Tolkiens and all the, you know, all the... You know, like Jerry Lee Lewis, like, all right, this doesn't sound like, you know, like Pat Boone.
No, it doesn't.
You know?
No,
and,
it doesn't.
You know, it was like, to me, like, Pat Boone was one of the whitest dudes ever.
He's white. You know? He's white. That's white.
Yeah. You know, like, you open a loose leaf book and it's like, oh, Pat Boone, you know? That's how, you know, hearing Jerry Lee Lewis, and then, you know, then put it together. Chuck Berry. Oh, okay. All right, I get it. This seems to flow, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but what was Chuck Berry before he was a rock and roll, before he invented rock and roll, you know?
There it is. There it is.
And, you know, yeah, then I went back and found all that Stax stuff. And
now, Stax, like I said, that, and it's funny because listening to you and you were talking about, you know, being involved and being inspired by, you know, hip hop and, of course, in the R&B and stuff. And, you know, I'm listening to you, Lee, and you know, you took the back door into the blues. You know what I mean? And it was like,
yeah, I really did.
You really did, man.
And I continue to go through the back door, too, because they ain't letting me in the front door.
That's it. Well, I said maybe that needs to be something. There needs to be like a, you know, backdoor blues or some backdoor something on this next album. You really did. I mean, and it was like the sneak attack. I mean, because you get influenced, you know, by early on influences, and you kind of you jump forward, you know, in culture, and you know, and you get, of course, you know, you have a tendency to be interested, you know, in you know, something that's got some type of groove. You know what I mean? And that was the thing with you, is that there had to be some type of, I got to be able to snap my fingers and I got to have some groove, you know? And so
yeah,
that's what you
got to have groove.
Yeah. And so that's ultimately what you followed. And it wound up, like I said, thank you to the gentleman that put the Muddy Waters tape in your hand. Okay.
Unfortunately, he got mad at me and don't talk to me no more. Oh. But I'd like to thank him one day.
You know what, though? I mean, if there was nothing other than the purpose of people cross people's paths, you know, even if it's just for one moment, okay, in your life for a reason. And if it was nothing more than to put that tape in your hand and go, okay, look, go that way. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And it's funny because I still have that tape, too.
See? That needs to be like kind of like on an altar, man. You know what I mean? Or, you know, needs to kind of be like, all right, this is what put me on my direction. You know?
And it did, too. You know, it did.
Wow.
It was because I was playing. Like, I never fit. Even when I played in metal bands and stuff like that, I used to get fired out of heavy metal bands.
See?
Because I would go take a solo and it'd be like Jimi Hendrix took a, you know, and mm-hmm. like, well, hey, that doesn't work. And you gotta go, blah, 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 and I'm like, I don't do blah.
No, I do groove. I do this. And see, that's funny. And see, and yet you throw in another genre. You came through the back door and you went and you checked out all the other places, but, you know, each genre you stepped into, you can honestly say that blues touched it somehow and it turned into whatever it did. But you keep...
Yeah, it's always been there. It's just I didn't know it.
Wow. That's quite a calling. That's quite a calling for you.
It's kind of surreal when I think about it sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely it is. Absolutely. So honey, you're writing. You got some new music that you're going to be coming out with here soon, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. We got some new tunes and I might even revisit the hip hop thing that I did on track 3 a little bit.
Okay.
You know, with First String Man, we had it might have kept me away from getting a nomination for a BMA, but
okay.
You know, and I don't know if you got a chance to listen to First String Man, but we have a rapper, Young Chiz, on that, where I incorporate hip-hop for the first time ever in a blues record.
Perfect.
We got a hip-hop breakdown and a rapper break, you know, old-school rap breakdown, and I have a DJ scratching vinyl on the record.
Look at you. So you're bringing all your worlds together on one album going, all right, this is what we're doing.
Yeah, I don't play.
No, I can tell, man. You're not screwing around.
Yeah, they told me when I did it, they said, you know, the blues Nazis ain't going to care for this. I'm like, I don't give a damn.
I was talking to, that's the second time. I can't believe, in all the time that we've been here, you know, and we've been doing what we do. Last week, I had Bobby Masano busted in on me down here at the studio, and we had some fun.
Yeah, I know Bobby.
He is the first, you are the second person that's used the word blues Nazi. And so, apparently, you know what I mean? And I don't know what it is. I'm so enthralled with the term because apparently you two understand that you're stepping out of bounds here and there with certain groups, and you've got, you know, people that are giving you the right act, you know?
There's a huge group of them, and they're everywhere, but, you know, it's there's trends in the blues.
Yeah.
You know, and I see it. You know, and there's a certain group who, you know, run around and pretend that they're living in the 40s, you know, with the big guitars and the amplifiers that look like old stereos and, you know, playing a certain particular kind of, you know, swing and jump blues and stuff like that. And it's cool, you know, I dig it. And, you know, it's like almost like you have to be classified now. Right?
I got
it's
you.
Either you're a Chicago blues guy, you're a Texas blues guy.
No! You need to be dirty.
You need to be funny.
You need to be dirty.
Your blues gotta smell bad.
That's right! You gotta.
You know, what is it? Albert Castillo, doesn't he have a song? You gotta put some stank on it.
See?
You know?
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, you gotta be dirty.
And unfortunately, a lot of us cats from up north don't get no love, you know?
Well, you do now.
I can't remember the last time, if at all, anybody from up north won the IBC. And they give it to Canada before they give it to anybody from New York and New Jersey.
hell, well, what are you talking about, man? It's a rarity that somebody from Memphis gets it.
Yeah.
We're here. We live it, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think a couple of people from Memphis were in the finals. This year, I don't know who won this year, but I know that, what's his name? Mr. Sip. He was up there. I think he won it too. When I was down there in 2013,
yeah,
he won it. He was from Mississippi. Or Mississippi. Yeah, he was from Mississippi. And a couple of people went to the finals from Memphis this year.
Yes, there were.
Which is great. I'm very, very happy for them.
Absolutely.
You know, absolutely. But it would be nice. It would be nice to get some. You know, for some of the Yankees to get some love too, because you know we do it up here.
We do, and you do, and you've got it rolling, and you've got it going on, and that's the beautiful thing about, you know, what we do here, you know, at Radio Memphis and stuff is, and you know, from Memphis, you know, when we have our ear on it and we hear it, we're like, dude, have you heard this? You know, because this is, you know, this is close, you know, this is home, or this is, you know, this is what it, you know, this is what it sounds like, you know, this is ultimately, you know, what it, you know, what it was, you know, what it was for. And as far as, for IBCs for this year, actually it was the Keisha Pratt Band, the Houston Blues Society, was the band, solo duo, believe it or not, was Kevin Burt from Central Iowa.
Oh, cool.
All right. So I'm just gonna throw it out there.
Yeah. That's cool, man.
Okay. Let me give you some faith. Let me throw some faith in the bucket there for you, my brother.
What's that?
I said, let me throw some faith in the bucket for you there, my brother.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, you have got to make your way back down here, you know, with some of that sound.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to. You know, whether I come down and compete again or whether I just come down. You know,
you just need to come down
and hang out. You know?
Yes, yes, absolutely. You need to and stuff. And of course, you know, we'd love to have you here. You know, and
I'd like to hang out there the last time.
Good, good.
Well, my drummer wound up getting a seat where the camera was on him. That's all right. He's always in the back hiding behind drums. He never get any good pictures of him.
No, that's okay. We'll change that. We'll definitely change that. Well, look, I tell you, you know, another song that surprised me about you that, believe it or not, I fell in love with and I listened to a lot was Yesterday's Tears. Because that was
that's a special one for me.
That's, well, and I'm glad I brought it up then, because I don't know what it was about that song. It is very well written, as well as all of your other stuff. But this one is it's a very special song, because it was it doesn't matter if it was blues or if it was a pop song or if somebody was a rocker and redid this song. You know, it was written very well. Okay, and I sat there and I listened to it, and it was just you remember the Wonder Years? Remember the show, The Wonder Years? You know,
sure do.
And you remember how you always felt at the end of it, and you wanted him to get with Winnie, and you always had that little that ache in your heart, you know, kind of thing. It was that wonder years feeling for me, if that makes any sense to you whatsoever.
No, it does.
Yeah. It does. Yeah.
That was a real special. That was probably the most special song that I've ever written on both my records.
Wow.
I wrote that song about my two daughters.
Oh, see.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I've never performed it live. I can't get through it, but...
Really?
I wrote that song about my two daughters, and 12 years ago, a little bit more, my ex-wife and I split up. It was and still continues to be very... bad divorce.
And
she wound up disappearing.
I'm sorry.
With my kids, and it took me like 2 years to find them.
Wow.
And she alienated me from them.
Wow.
And continues to do so till this day. And, you know, I just, it was my song for them. You know,
it's a beautiful song.
You know, I've run out of money for lawyers. I've run out of money for courts.
It's a beautiful song.
I wanted to talk to them in some way and tell them how I felt.
Right.
So I did it in that song. And this is actually the first time I'm ever telling anybody what that song's about. So.
Wow. Wow. Well, yeah. I appreciate you sharing that with me. I listened to all of the different stuff. And the cool thing about you is that through this conversation, you know, we talked about, you know, the hip-hop, the R&B, the metal, and you know, and all these influences. And, you know, and I can find all the influences through every song, but this one song, you know, I kept coming back to, and I just kept listening to it and kept listening to it and kept listening to it. And so, you know, especially during the month of January, you know, with you being my artist of the month for Radio Memphis around the world, I you know, it was one of those, like, I play it every week, you know. It's like, I have to hear this. And it's a very crazy pull, you know, on your tummy, you know. It's like, I gotta play the song. I've got to play the song.
Wow.
You know, and it was and it's very special, and it meant a lot. So I'm glad you shared your story with me, because that means a lot too, you know. I was gonna play it for everybody here in a little bit. I want to know, have you got any shows coming up or anything like that?
Yeah, we're going to be in Kingston, New York. Okay. In a place called The Lounge on 31 Front Street soon.
Okay.
We're going to be at a place called Lakeside in Salisbury, Pennsylvania soon.
Okay.
We're going to be in Delaware at a place called Chains on the Pike. We're working out some dates for that now.
Wow.
And, yeah, we're hoping to get down to the St. George's Country Store.
Okay.
In Maryland. Working on that. And we got a lot of stuff in the fire.
You right do now. Have a lot of stuff in the fire. Absolutely.
Yeah, we're working on CD number 3, you know.
Perfect. So,
which is going to have a little bit more of a live feel.
Okay.
To it. We're going to get a little more raw and with that one. And we're working on we're gonna be doing a live record, you know, which a lot of cats do these days.
Yeah.
So we're gonna do that. And, you know, we have some festivals coming up, and we're talking with, and so yeah, it's gonna be a good year.
It will,
you know, and hopefully we'll get on the road more, and we'll hopefully get down south. And,
yes.
Down in Florida and the Midwest and stuff. You know.
Perfect. Well, good. I hope you will. Absolutely hope you will. Because you know you have a home here at Radio Memphis. So
what's that?
I said, you know you have a home here at Radio Memphis.
You guys are great down there. And we're hoping to get down there again soon.
Perfect.
You know, we got a few people that have some connections down there with some clubs, and, you know.
Perfect. Well, I tell you what, sweetheart, I'm going to play some more of your music for everybody. Thank you for taking some time this afternoon and sharing some moments with us.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Are you kidding? Any time. Now, you let me know when you get new music ready, okay?
And I will.
And let Rick know.
I will. Y'all be the first ones to get it.
Perfect. Perfect. We're going to make sure that everybody gets a little bit more from you, because they need some more Lee Del Rey in their life, I think. You've got a tuning fork.
You're making me tear up over here. Come on.
you got quite the tuning fork on life, my brother. You have no idea. You really do. Listen, you enjoy your afternoon, okay? You give us a call if you need anything. You hear me?
I will.
All right. We'll talk soon, babe.
All right, thanks, honey.
All right, bye-bye. All right, Mr. Lee Del Rey right here on Radio Memphis and Radio Memphis Around the World, Artist of the Month for January 2018. What a very cool man. Well, I'll tell you what, for that cool man, I'm going to play for him my favorite song, which turns out to be one of the special songs for him. Little Yesterday's Tears. You're only going to hear this on Radio Memphis.
This is your Artist of the Month for Radio Memphis Around the World. The proceeding was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated and originally aired live on Radio Memphis. Any offers or advertisement contained may not still be valid. All rights are reserved, and copyright is held by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. For more, look for all the RMOD players at radio-memphis.com.